Our gospel reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 1, beginning with verse 14, and it reads, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news.' As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fisher for people.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As they went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called out to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed them." The Gospel of the Lord. I come to you today with a sermon that asks the question, what did you hear? Pray with me. Loving God, we pray once again a prayer of blessing upon this word. Let it inspire our hearts and our minds and give us the guidance and the direction and the food for thought we desire. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. What did you hear? Today, we are living in one of the most amazing times in the history of this world. And the reason why it's so amazing is that we have access to more information than any generation that has ever come before us. Think about it. When you want to find out what's going on in the news, when you want to know what's happening in the world around you, there are so many resources that are available to us today that folks never had before. Just for the fun of it, how many people do we have here today that still read actual newspapers? Let me see some hands. There's a few of us. And amongst those who read newspapers, some of us get our news from the television. Some of us get our news from radio. Some of us have splurged and we have cable TV. And then there are those new sources that crept into the world that have become more staples than anything else. Some of us immediately turn on our computers in the morning or as soon as we get to work and we're looking to see what current events are happening. Some of us will go to our tablets and see what's happening on the news in a smaller electronic device. And then there are those of us who rely heavily on our smartphones. How many of you have become accustomed to checking things out on your smartphones? Let's see some hands. Wow, I expected more. And admittedly, I'm among them. But here's the challenge. With all of this influx of news and information that constantly comes into our lives, we are tasked with one more thing. Where once upon a time, when I was a child growing up, the newspaper you would always find would be the daily news sitting on the dinner table for the entire family to read. Now, with all these different sources of news that comes in, the question then becomes, how much of it can we believe is being true? And how much of it should we ignore? How much of it is true facts? And how much of it is, to coin a phrase that's been used quite often over the last year and a half, how much of it is actually fake news? Or better yet, do we have the ability to determine which is which? Think about how many times We have heard conflicting stories coming across the airways. And even in my own household, we find ourselves debating because I read the British Broadcasting System's news recount of what happened in the United States, and somebody else read it from the Washington Post. And we sit and we debate because the facts are just different enough. Which one's true and which one has been embellished upon or fabricated to make it sound more alluring to the reader? Beloved people of God, would you believe this actually even happens in the accounts of the Word of God? As you saw with our children's sermon today, how the message came out, and the original message was simply, God loves you very, very much, that He wants you to know that He loves you. That was the entire message. But in the translation, it got twisted and changed just a bit, and we ended up with rainbows. How many times has the Word of God been taken out of context and twisted and turned and convoluted into something that it was never intended to be? Take, for example, our word today from the gospel. How many times during the course of our lives have we heard Jesus' words proclaimed, the ones from our gospel where it says, and I quote, "The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." Many of us have heard those words echoed over and over again throughout our entire lifetime. Amen? And yet, each time we've heard it, the question then becomes, what do we do with it? What does this mean? How do I receive this? And how do I respond to it? Here's something that you may find intriguing. Every few years, for the entire time that I can remember, people have been saying, proclaiming, requoting that phrase, that the Lord is going to return on a designated date and time. And this proclamation is normally followed by the words, "Repent and be saved." And in response to this prediction and in this proclamation, what you'll find is that in though that it's been recorded and repeated over 190 times throughout history, this phrase, "repent, be saved, get ready because Christ is coming," has drawn out so many different types of responses from people. Some have heard these words and began to panic, so much so to the point where it's been recorded that people have taken their own lives for fear of what might come when the Lord truly appears. And then there's the other extreme. This may be a more modern one, but I've heard this as a true statement of fact. When somebody says, "Well, the Lord is going to return on October the 31st, 2000, and the world is going to end," they'll go shopping on October the 25th, and run up their credit cards and buy all these big extravagant things with the hopes that He will come so that we don't have to pay for this stuff. And of course, there's all points in between. The message was still the same, but the responses were completely different. And though people have done these things throughout history, and if you were to talk to any of them individually, they will have the words to justify the reasons why they've done these things. The question then comes, when they hear the words, "The time has come and the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news," how are we supposed to respond to that? Well, taking a look back in our scriptures for today, when Simon and his brother Andrew, and when James and his brother John heard the words, they decided that it meant that they needed to do something similar to what took place in Nineveh when the people of that generation heard the same word when Jonah made his cameo appearance. They decided that it was time to change something in their lives. So, in the case of Simon, Andrew, James, and John, when they heard God's message through Jesus, what they heard it say to them individually, to them personally, they heard it to say these words: if you are willing to follow God, God will use you to do something incredible in the world. That's what they heard. And that was the reason why they were able to drop their nets and change their profession from being fishermen for fish to become fishermen for people. And in the case of Nineveh, when they heard that message, albeit brief from Jonah, what they heard was, God is not pleased with the things that I'm doing and the way that I'm living. And God has given me an opportunity to turn things around, to make things right, to live my life a little bit differently before it's too late. Beloved people of God, as each of them chose to hear God's word, they did one more thing. They didn't just listen to it, but it compelled them to move into action. They followed. They responded to what they heard. And as a result of that, here's what happened. When Simon, Andrew, James, and John heard and responded to the word of God, they were the first of the 12 apostles that were called in response to the word of God. And they began to go out and to teach and to minister. And they were the first pioneers who began a movement that rippled throughout this entire world, that rippled throughout time. And it was them responding to God's word that justified, that explains why we are here today. Had they not heard the word of God through Jesus, Christianity would not have been born. To God be the glory. Had they not responded, we would not be here. And in the case of the people of Nineveh, when they heard the message that their great city had not been doing the right things, their simple response in accepting the responsibility for their actions, in believing that it's time to turn my life around and to be a little bit better, change a few things that God was not pleased with, the end result of that was that an entire city was spared from destruction. To God be the glory. Beloved people of God, the message still hasn't changed. The words of our gospel still echoes through the ages. The words still come to us the same way Jesus read them and proclaimed them. And it says, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Beloved people of God, how does that speak to you? What message do you hear in these words today? Is it a message that's calling you to examine your life, examine the way that you're living? Is it calling you to make some changes and tweaks in the way that you're doing things that may not be pleasing to God? When you hear these words, Is it calling you to change the way that you look at others? The way you talk to others? Maybe even the way you treat others? When you hear these words, is it a call for you to become active once again? To get more involved in your spiritual journey? To work in the rebuilding of God's kingdom here on earth? Maybe it's a call to get involved in some community things that will help somebody's life get better. Maybe it's a call for you to be more actively involved in some of the ministries in this church so that the next generation or the generation after that will benefit from the work, the foundation that we have laid. Maybe it's a call for you to volunteer to help those who are not able to do for themselves. Or maybe, just maybe, it's a call for you to reach out and to help those who are in need, those who can't do for themselves. Or maybe this. Maybe the message you've heard in the good news portion of this is a reminder that no matter what you might be going through, worries, concerns, issues, problems, family situations, money situations, health issues, whatever it might be, maybe this is a reminder that you don't have to do this by yourself, that you have a community of faith around you and God ever present in your lives. Beloved people of God, though we have all listened to the words that were proclaimed by Jesus in this gospel, we all heard the exact same words, but how did you hear it? And how will you respond to it? As we continue on this journey that we call life, the challenge that stands before us is how will you respond to what you have heard God say to your heart? We may have all heard something different, but how will you hear what God has to say? I encourage you, as you continue to walk this journey, take the response that you've heard, take the lessons that you've learned, and model it in the life that you live. Yes, beloved people of God, life is a journey. There's a lot of information out there. But if you trust and believe that somewhere in the midst of this information highway that we traverse, that you'll find God in the midst of it all. And remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you are, God will be with you every step of the way. Amen. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you so much for blessing us with this reminder that we are never alone. And we thank you, Lord, for reminding us that even in the midst of our mess, our muck and mire, that you're always there. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.